with you tonight a King James Bible. Hold it up. Amen and amen. That's what I like. I like it when you bring your Bible. Amen. All right. Good, Bobby. I like that. Amen. All right. We're going to take our King James Bible tonight, and we're going to open it up. Any page, I don't care. Just try to look intelligent as I get in the Word of God, and we're gonna open the Bible up tonight and look at what the Bible says tonight. But anyway, what I want to say is that, you know, before Jesus was to die, he met with the disciples in the upper room. I remember going to Jerusalem, and we looked at the upper room. I doubt it was the upper room, the actual upper room where they met, but it was in the location of it. Before he died on the cross for our sins, he met with his disciples and gave them teaching. And one of the things he told them was in John 16:7. I'll read it. He says to them, I'm going away. But he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And that is the great blessing that we have, that the Lord Jesus, in dying on the cross, rising from the dead, and then ascending into heaven, he's been there for 2,000 years. He's been away from us physically, so you can't touch Jesus physically. You can't talk to him physically. But he said, it's actually better for you that I'm not here physically. Think about that. It's better for you. Why is it better? Because he says, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And if you are a child of God, at the moment you were saved, you have one just like Jesus, who is not physically in you, but by his Spirit, he lives in your life. And that person is with you 24/7. 24/7. And I believe one of the greatest things that we do wrong is to neglect the person of the Holy Spirit. And tonight I want to talk to you about that Comforter, that Counselor, that Teacher, that Helper that Jesus sent, so that it would be better for him not even to be here with you physically, to have that Comforter. And so tonight I want to talk to you about two great things that this Comforter does. And there are two kinds of fillings of the Holy Spirit in your life. I want to talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit, but I want to say there are two different kinds of the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I'd like you to take your Bible and look at the first one first. The first filling is found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Would you turn there? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. There's Romans, you know, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. I'll read it, and here's what it says. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let me say that again. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the first thing I think about when I say that is this kind of filling is in what's called the present indicative active tense. What does that mean? Present indicative active tense. It means that you are to be continually, all the time, under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. All the time, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled continually with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, if I had preached Sunday morning and I came back Sunday evening and I said, we're going to have some testimonies now, and I would like you to give your testimony. Jose, would you give your testimony? And I'm walking around like this.
Kamala Harris.
He said like Kamala. I thought of her, but I didn't have the to say it. What would you think if I was walking around like that?
You're drunk?
Yeah, he'd think I was drunk from alcoholic beverage or some kind of some kind of substance abuse, you know, that I was into. And the Bible is very clear that you are not, listen to me, you are not to be under the influence of alcohol. Now, some people, they're under the influence of alcohol all the time. I had a guy, he told me, Pastor, and we're coming up in the season, he said from Thanksgiving, all the way to New Year's, I was drunk. From Thanksgiving all the way to New Year's, I was basically drunk. And somehow he got saved, and he told me that as a saved person. And, you know, that is not good, because if you are drunk with alcohol, you're going to be involved in excess. You know what excess is? A drunk will do things excessively. I remember a lady told me that she would get drunk and she would wake up in somebody else's house, some man's house, not even knowing who the guy was. And that's the way she was living her life. Now, that's excessive behavior. It crosses the line. It destroys one's life. And alcohol will do that. It will take away your ability to function morally. By the way, pot will do it too. Don't smoke that dope, or you're the dope, right? It's not the dope you're smoking. The dope is the one that's doing it. And so I'm just saying that the Bible says don't be under the influence of alcohol. Don't be under the influence of wine. And the best way not to be under the influence of it is do what the Bible said. Don't look at it. Don't hang around it. Don't get into it. But he says, be filled continually with the Holy Spirit. You need to have your soul, listen to me, your soul constantly under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. And that is something that God says is a command. Now, you might say, well, the pastor's drunk if I was doing that. But what would you say if I was not filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, you'd have to say the pastor is not obedient to Ephesians 5:18. He's not obedient to God's command because he's not filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, what are you filled with? One time I remember carrying a battery. We had a guy that on our property used to have batteries stacked up in his place. And we changed that. We turned it into an apartment. But he used to have batteries, and I had on army pants one day, and I remember carrying one of those batteries from there across the lawn of my house, and it was sloshing around in there, and all of a sudden I looked down. Thank God it went straight down and not into my body, but my pants were just holy. You know what I mean by holy? Nothing but holes. That battery acid sloshed onto my pants and just ate right through it. And you know what? That's the way some people are. Right. That you bump them and out comes anger.
Right.
You bump them and out comes bitterness.
Yeah.
You bump them and out comes something that is really destructive, because you see, they are under the influence not of the Holy Spirit of God. And therefore, out from them comes the works of the flesh. And there are many different works of the flesh. They're mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. But the Bible says, in order to avoid that as a child of God, you need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't, you're going to have natural responses. Natural responses to people. And you will not have supernatural responses. Listen, God didn't save you to be natural. Samson said, if you cut my locks, I'll be just like any other man. But that is not what Samson was saved for and set apart for. He was set apart to be supernatural. You need to be supernatural. And too many Christians are too carnal. They're too natural. They're not natural men and women in that they have the Holy Spirit living in them, but they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And you are in sin and in disobedience just as much as if I would come to the pulpit drunk. You're in sin if you're not continually, listen to me, under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. And you're commanded to do that. So, secondly, under this heading of being filled with the Holy Spirit, not only are you commanded to be filled, but you are to be continually under the control of the Holy Spirit. I've just already touched on that. You've got to keep on. In other words, I could be filled this morning. That won't do for this evening. I could be filled this evening. That will not do for tomorrow morning. You need to be constantly filled, just like that guy was drunk from Thanksgiving to New Year's. You need to be filled from New Year's to watch night. You know, you need to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think of that being what I would call existential. You know what I mean by existential? The Christian life is existential. It's lived moment by moment. And you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just turn God on Sunday morning and turn God on Sunday evening and turn him off when you leave church. And then just, you know, no. You are to constantly be, the Holy Spirit goes with you when you leave church. We're a temple collectively of the Holy Spirit, but your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And God wants us to have that filling of the Holy Spirit all the time. And I think of the Apostle Peter, you know, he stepped out of the boat and walked on water. Why did he walk on water? Because he was walking by faith. He was looking to Jesus, and he was able to supernaturally walk on water. Well, that's a miracle, but you are supposed to be walking supernaturally, spiritually. So you can do what you wouldn't normally be able to do. You know, a person gets drunk with wine, don't they do things that they wouldn't normally do? Some people, in fact, get drunk just so that they can talk to people because they're afraid to talk to people if they don't get drunk. And some people do that with the opposite sex. Oh, I want to ask the opposite sex out for a date, so I'll get drunk. And they wind up doing things they shouldn't do and saying things they shouldn't say. But that's a negative thing. But you need to keep on being filled with or sipping from the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Now, I got some drink here. I'm going to get thirsty. Amen? I'm going to sip on it. I'm going to keep sipping on it. Now, there's no alcohol in that, thank God. But I'm going to keep sipping on it. And that keeps me from being thirsty. You know what? I believe a lot of Christians are thirsty and they turn for their highs to sports. Now, I like sports. I like it when Michigan wins and the Steelers win. I like that. But it's not what I have to depend upon for my high, hope to God. And some people turn to that to get some kind of high from something in the external world, and that's what the world does. They live on these highs and lows and highs and lows. But God says, Jesus said, it's better for you I go away because I'm going to have somebody that's going to be with you 24/7. He's going to be in you, and you can drink from him. You can be satisfied with the relationship to him. And if you get to know him, guess what? You're going to get to know me because he's just like me. He's God like I'm God. And he has all the attributes of God like I do. And he'll make God real to you. And so I wonder, how much are you aware of the Holy Spirit in your life? You should realize that that filling is to be something that you're commanded to do. And just like alcohol, you're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Alcohol negative, but the Holy Spirit positive. And so, talking about that, I want to say that not only is it a present thing and a continual thing, but the second thought under this is, I want to say, this kind of filling has to do with your obeying two negative commands and then some positive commands. You say, well, how do I be filled with the Holy Spirit, Pastor? How do I do that? Well, here's a negative command that will help you, first of all, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This one's in Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30. And here's what it says about the Holy Spirit. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, if you're a child of God, Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. You have Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit because he's just like Jesus living inside of your life. But is he influencing what you think? Is he influencing what you say? Is he influencing how you look and all that your actions? The Bible says a lot of times a believer is not. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of Christ is in you, but he's sad. He's grieved. And the Bible says that you are sealed, listen to me, with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. What does that mean? Well, a seal in the Bible, a seal in ancient history, did two things. They put a seal on a king's letter that he sent, and it would do two things. One, that seal would keep anybody from tampering with it. If they tampered with it, they might be killed because they messed with the king's mail. Amen? You don't want to break that seal. And the Holy Spirit is the one that seals you. In other words, the Holy Spirit himself is the seal so that Satan can't live inside of you. A believer can't have Satan living inside of them. And so people say, well, you know, they're demon possessed. You're not demon possessed if you're a believer. You could be demon oppressed if you grieve the Holy Spirit and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. But you cannot be demon possessed. The Holy Spirit lives in you, and he is the seal that protects you from anything breaking in there and taking your salvation. You cannot have your salvation taken. So a seal protects. Here's another thing about a seal. A seal identifies. Every king or every important person, they had their own seal. And so it identifies. So when you are born again and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, by his fruit in your life, identifies whether you're a believer. That's why it said, by their fruits, Jesus said, ye shall know them. And he talked about, you know, an apple tree bringing forth apples and a different kind of tree bringing forth different fruit. So if you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, he's going to bring forth that fruit in your life. And a lot of times I can discern and you can discern if a person is born again by the fruit. By their fruits ye shall know them. And so a seal will identify. So what is he saying here? He's saying the Holy Spirit keeps you saved and protects you. The Holy Spirit identifies you as being a believer. And therefore, why would you grieve him? You see, if you keep on grieving the Holy Spirit, you'll doubt your salvation. You'll doubt your salvation because the Holy Spirit helps you to be assured that you're saved. And when people want to have their cake and eat it too, they say, well, I want to have the world and Jesus too, all this in heaven too. You know, I want to have all this, my sin, and have Jesus. No, it doesn't work that way. Because you grieve the Holy Spirit when you get into that. Like say you get into, you say, I want to smoke pot and have Jesus too. No, it doesn't work that way. You're going to mess with your mind. And you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. And he will take away, listen to me, the assurance of your salvation. And if you're truly saved, and remember, he's the seal, and you don't grieve. You say, well, Pastor, how do I stop grieving? That's exactly what the construction here is. When it says grieve not, it means stop it. You're already grieving him. Maybe you're grieving him on what you're doing on the internet. Maybe you're grieving him, you see, on the associations, the people that you're hanging around with, the people that you're talking to. Maybe you're grieving him by the way your speech is, like you're using wrong kind of words, corruptible speech, dirty words, blasphemy, mean words. You're grieving him by your speech. And the Holy Spirit is pictured like a dove. He's gentle. He's easily grieved. And so it says, stop grieving him. And you say, well, how do I stop grieving him? You need to confess your sin and be willing to forsake it. The word confess, homologeo, homo means the same kind. Legeo means to say the same thing. In other words, you say to God what he says about your sin. Somebody said, I had an affair. No, you downright committed adultery. And by the way, you can commit adultery with your mind. You can commit adultery with your words without even physically getting involved in adultery by fornication. I committed adultery. I have sinned here. And you name that sin before God and be sorry for that sin and say, I'm willing, God, to forsake it because I know. And God said, if you do that, if you confess your sin, He's faithful. He promised and He's faithful. He'll cleanse you. And Christ's blood was shed that if you confess your sin, that sin will be cleansed. And guess what? The Holy Spirit will not be grieved anymore. He's grieved when you do not admit your sin. And so that is the first thing. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. But there's a second word, and that's in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. And I want to quote it to you. It says, quench not the Spirit. Grieve not by unconfessed sin. Quench not the Spirit. You say, well, how do I quench the Holy Spirit? Well, when you think of quench, I think of thirst, quench my thirst. But also, quenching can be like throwing cold water on a fire. If we had a fire come here, we'd want to throw some water on that fire and put it out. Now, the Holy Spirit, when He first came and baptized the church with Himself and then with His power and then into the body of Christ, when the Holy Spirit first came in Acts chapter 2, one of the men tell me, how was the Holy Spirit represented in Acts chapter 2 on the first day the Holy Spirit came? One of the men tell me, how was the Holy Spirit represented? What was the emblem?
Cloven tongues of fire.
Cloven tongues of fire. So not only is the Holy Spirit a person that can be grieved, but the Holy Spirit of God in your life is like a fire that burns. Now, fire burns out impurities, does it not? And the Holy Spirit burns. You see, a person either is burning with an impure heart or burning with a pure flame of the Holy Ghost. You can't have both at once. And the Holy Spirit as a flame will prompt you to do things that God wants you to do. He will prompt you. He is the GPS of God. He's God's prompting spirit. He will prompt you. I like what even Roberts used to say, the great preacher from Wales, the young man. He said he said the same thing Moody said, obey the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will prompt you to do things never contrary to the Word of God, but He prompts you to do things according to the Word of God. You see, it's not just a book that you have, it's a person. And He's in you, and He's working in your life, and He burns in your life with a holy flame. But listen to me, you can throw cold water on the Holy Spirit's flame. And you need to be careful not to do that. And the Bible says, don't throw cold water on the Holy Spirit. And so you can do that, and that is a bad thing to do. Now, the Holy Spirit in the context, listen to me, of 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19 where it says, quench not the Holy Spirit, quench not the Spirit. What is in the context of commands that God gives you? Well, it says rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. You ever find a person always depressed? Well, they're disobeying a command of God. Because the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord what? Always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, joy is not happiness. Happiness depends on what's happening, man. If everything's happening good. I'm happy. And my emotions are happy. But joy draws from Jesus Christ. You see, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy. And so you'll have some negative things happen in your life. And your flesh will tell you, get down about that. Get sad about that. Get all discouraged about that. But the Holy Spirit will say, wait a minute. Don't get into the circumstances of your life. Don't ride the roller coaster of circumstances. Draw from Jesus. Find a reason to be happy. Find a reason to rejoice. And as I said, you can lose money. You can't lose your spiritual riches. And so that's how you can quench the Holy Spirit, by refusing, listen to me, to rejoice when you should rejoice in the Lord. He says in the context, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, something happens in your life and you're all worried about it. And you may tell somebody else, pray for me, but you don't pray for yourself. You don't pray for yourself. You don't cast your burden on the Lord. And that thing gets in there, and now you're all worried. You're fretting about it. You're worried about it. You got that between. You may tell other people to pray, but you're not praying. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're quenching the Holy Spirit because you're failing to pray. And we're supposed to worry about nothing, pray about everything. And so that's another thing he says. And then he says another thing, same thing, 1 Thessalonians 5, quench not the Spirit. He said, in everything give thanks. In everything? Yeah, not after something, not when you're going through a problem and God works it out. Now I'm going to give thanks. Oh, thank you, Lord, I see. No, in the midst of it, give thanks. I think of this couple who came to catch an airplane, and they had delay of traffic problems, and they came to catch the airplane, and they said, I'm sorry, the airplane's taken off. Oh, we missed our flight. Is that giving thanks? In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. They found out the plane crashed. The plane crashed. God was sparing them and sparing their life. I'm just saying, you may not see why God's doing something, but you're to give thanks by faith in the midst of everything, or you're quenching the Holy Spirit of God. You see, that's why so many people do not have what Daniel had and what Joseph had. What did he have? He had an excellent spirit. Why? Because they're quenching the Holy Spirit of God. And if you keep grieving the Holy Spirit and quenching the Holy Spirit, how can you be under the influence and be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God? No, you will not be able to be. Those are two negative commands that you must get a hold of. And then there is, I want to talk about how you can be filled with the Holy Spirit all the time by drawing upon your position in Christ. And first of all, I'm going to give you Romans 6:11. He says there, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed in the sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, what has he said there? Romans 6:1-10, he says, you need to know something about yourself. If you're a believer in Christ, you need to know you're going to heaven. But there's much more than just that. I thank God I know I'm going to heaven. Amen. But that's not going to fill me with the Holy Spirit necessarily. It's going to be great to know I'm going to heaven. But the Bible says you need to know something else. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, not only do you have a home in heaven, my friend, but when Jesus died on that cross, he died out from the realm of sin. When he was on that cross, he was living under the realm of sin. God had forsaken him. Do you know that? God forsook Jesus. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know why he forsook the Son of God? So that you wouldn't be forsaken. Do you know that when Jesus died on that cross, he died from that position of ever being forsaken by the Father again? Is Jesus forsaken by the Father now? Will he ever be forsaken by the Father? No, he will not be. But if you're a believer, you are in Jesus spiritually. And that means you'll never be in the realm of sin and death anymore. You are alive forevermore. You can never die. You say, but I know people that died. They're believers. Their bodies died. You do not die. You as a spiritual being do not die. He said, he that liveth and believeth in me, Jesus said, shall what? Never die. Never die. And that is a blessed thing. Even in the Bible, it speaks of a believer sleeping. That's because it's not his soul that goes to sleep. His soul is very much alive, and his spirit, but it's his body that is sleeping, as it were, because it's going to get up on resurrection day. Amen. Get a hold of that. Reckon, he says, yourself to be dead forever to the realm of sin, where you're separated from God under the power of sin. You are under the power and influence of God at all times because you are in Jesus Christ. Now, to know that is one thing. You need to know the doctrine, Romans 6, 1 through 10. But Romans 6, 11 says you're to reckon upon it. That means like 2 and 2 is 4. I reckon. 4 and 4 is 8. 8 and 8 is 16. I can't go any further. I'm not good, man. But anyway, you reckon upon the truth of the reality of mathematics. It is God's truth. You can count on it, right? You can count on the fact that you're dead to sin. And you may fall. You may fall into sin. Let's say you fell into drinking. Or you fell into pot. Well, you've grieved the Holy Spirit. But listen to me. You have not fallen down to the bottom of the mountain. You've fallen on top of the mountain. You are on top of the mountain. You are in Christ. Reckon upon that, okay? And then I want you to see another thing. We're still talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only know something, reckon upon it, but follow me now. You have to yield. You have to yield. And it's not like the southern guy who saw the sign yield and he rolled down his windows and said, ah! He yielded, but he hit a car and collided with the car. I hope Mrs. Slobodnik didn't do that, but he collided with a car and he said, I yield. What happened? And they said, no, that means to give the other guy the right of way. You're supposed to back away. And you know what? You have to yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him have His way in your life. Not just when you're teaching a Sunday school class or when you're doing some spiritual. You're supposed to do it all the time, to yield to the Holy Spirit, to yield to His promptings. And I was talking to Brother Z, and, you know, sometimes we're in a bad mood. And sometimes a person will say something to us. And our natural response will be not right. In fact, just think about your natural response and do just the opposite. And you'll be doing what the Holy Spirit wants. Because, you see, the flesh is against the spirit. The spirit's against the flesh. And there's certain people, they say things to you. And you just, boom, you just say the wrong thing. But no, you need to yield to give the right away. Listen, give the right away to the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit want me to say? What does the Holy Spirit want me to do? And do what He wants. And so, we're too quick. We're too quick to jump out and do something and not yield. And here's what the Bible says. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust or the desires thereof. Don't let sin. In other words, you're a new man. You're in the realm of the Holy Spirit. You're alive. You're never going to go back into being dead again. So now you, as a new person in Christ, you don't let sin have its expression in and through your mortal body. And that's why it says, next verse, verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. So don't yield the parts of your physical body to do what sin wants to do. Sin wants to operate through. Don't do that. Don't. But rather, positively, it says, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So you say, Pastor, what do you do when I'm tempted to sin? I say, I'm alive unto God. And I, as a soul, a spiritual being, God, I yield myself to you. And I yield the members of my physical body. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to think? Do I always do that? No, but I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit when I don't do that. And neither are you. And let me say another thing about this. You need to do that from a position of strength. God wants you to yield yourself as one, what? Alive from the dead. Whether you yield or not, are you still alive from the dead? Yeah, you are. But you're not acting like you really are. You really are alive from the dead. But you're acting like a dead man or woman when you yield. And so you're going against what you should do. You know, if a bat came in here and flew in here, my wife would be under the pew screaming. And if I did that, you'd say, act like a man. Act like a man. And, you know, what does that talk about? A man is expected to act like a man. Well, act like you really are. You're alive from the dead. And it's a position of strength. Look at the next verse, verse 14. It proves it. He says, for, that means because, sin shall not have dominion over you. Not talking about your body there. You as a spiritual being. It will not, even if you yield to sin, listen to me. Even if you yield to sin and let it have its way in your body. And let's say you go out of here and your team loses and you say a bad word. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Bric-a-brac-a, cop-a-long. You get all angry. Sin is having dominion over your mouth, over your mind, over your body, but not over you, because you're alive. And that's what he means in verse 14 when he says, do this because ye are not under the law, but under grace. What is law? Law means that as long as you do right, you're in the realm of life and you're in the realm of peace and you're in the realm of God. But that's not grace. No, even if you do wrong, you're still under God's grace. But you're acting against what you really are. And that ought to make you ashamed. And that ought to make you sad and sorry and say, I'm not acting like I should. I have covered up Jesus. I've hid him under a bushel of sin. And that is not good. That is the way to promote, listen to me, your continually being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And let me say a third thing about this, and we're talking about the number one filling, and that's all I'm going to get to tonight, don't worry. Here's the third thing. The third thought from Ephesians 5 on this kind of filling is it speaks of various ways that it will be demonstrated in your life that you're filled. Now, we just talked about some. If you're able to give thanks in everything, if you're able to keep rejoicing and drawing from that, if you're able to pray without ceasing and your prayer life is not interrupted and you get an answer to prayer, you know. But here's some things right in Ephesians that he says go along with being under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Do you know it's the right kind of music? If you listen to the rock music and the world's music, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You check it out. Saul, when he was under the influence of Satan, he needed good music played by David to drive away the devil. And here's what the music is. It says in the Bible here, Ephesians 5:19, here's how you can tell whether you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. First of all, are you singing from the heart? Have you ever heard some people, they're kind of professional-like singers, but they're Christians, and you're not really ministered to by their singing? Right. You're not exhorted by their singing? You're not encouraged by their singing? You know what? They're just putting on a performance. They're not speaking from the heart. I like to preach from the heart. I don't want to just preach something to put in your notebook so you can get it. I want to preach from the heart. Because a message in the heart will reach a heart. A message in the mind will reach a mind. I want to reach your heart because that will change your life. And so it is with singing. You're to make melody in your heart to whom? To the Lord. You're to sing to the Lord. He'll take your voice. I don't care how bad it is. He make a joyful noise. He likes it. But sing to the Lord. And well, you say, what kind of music? It says in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Right. Well, what's a psalm? It's right in the Bible. We sing psalms. I had a guy in our church, great guy. He used to play piano, write music, sing music. He was a great guy. And he would write the Psalms and music to the Psalms. You remember that guy? And what a blessing that was. And to sing the Psalms. There's another guy called Clint Miller. He's a pastor out in San Diego, California. I met Clint Miller and used to see him out at pastor school years ago. Clint Miller would put all the Psalms to music. I still sing some of his Psalms. But that will help you to sing the Psalms. That was Israel's songbook. And a second thing that will help you to stay in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, and that is psalms and hymns. What are hymns? Well, hymns are all about hymn, H-I-M. So H-Y-M-N, hymns are all about hymn, like, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Now, those are hymns. They're about Him. And we come thou fount of every blessing. Sing about Him and praise Him. And that's what we need to do. And God inhabits that kind of thing. And so you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is in a believer, every believer. But sadly, in some of your lives, He's too grieved because of your music or your lack of singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What are spiritual songs? Well, spiritual songs are about your spiritual walk and your experience. It's a testimony of your spiritual experience and you having that testimony. And God wants people to put their experience of walking with the Lord to music, right? I do songs like that. I sing songs like that. I'm thinking of one right now. It's in my mind, but I'm not going to sing it. But something about your spiritual experience, that is a blessing to do that. And Spirit-filled living causes you to sing and make melody in your heart. And, do you think Islamic people sing? I don't think so. They don't sing about Allah. From their heart, certainly, to the Lord. But there's a second way that being filled with the Holy Spirit is demonstrated in your life. We've already talked about it. It says, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 5:20. Have you been giving thanks for everything that happens to you? If not, you know what? You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're living, like I just said, circumstantial Christianity. You're a spiritual thermometer. You know what a thermometer is. A thermometer reads the temperature in the room. How about being a spiritual thermostat? A spiritual thermostat sets the temperature in the room. And you do that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you give thanks no matter what is going on. You say, how can I do that? It's a terrible thing. By faith. By faith. And you do that and then you're showing that I'm not going to live my life based upon the circumstances. I'm going to live my life flying above the clouds. Flying above the circumstances. You know, it's supposed to rain this week. Amen. I really like the sunshine. I really like the nice weather. I don't like the rain, but we need rain. But you can fly above the clouds. And if you have your eyes set on Jesus. And you can give thanks no matter what you're going through. I know the natural response is things happen bad and you start complaining and getting all of it. But you can give thanks if you're supernatural. All right, there's a third and last way, and that'll be my last point. The third way, being filled with the Spirit, is demonstrated. Look at Ephesians 5:21 through 6:11. And I'll read, first of all, Ephesians 5 and verse number. Let me do this here. Ephesians 5, where am I here? Get to it. Ephesians 5 and verse 21. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. If you're filled, listen, with the Holy Spirit, you will submit to God's chain of command. When it says submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God, it's not doing like a couple in my church did. I had a couple in my church, and they would spank their children. They said the Bible says we have to spank our children. But then when they would do something wrong, they would bend over and tell their children to spank them. And they would submit to spankings from their children. That's not what this is talking about. That's stupid. It's talking about submitting to God's chain of command. God has a chain of command, and you, and the word is very military. It's like a captain will say, yes, sir, to a general. And a sergeant will say, yes, sir, to a captain. It is military. And so many believers, they do not submit themselves in the different chains of command that are given. Now you say, well, how does that work out? Well, look what it says in verse 22. It says in verse 22, I'll read it. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So, do you submit to Jesus Christ? Well, not always. Do wives always submit to their husband? Not always. But we're supposed to submit to them unless it goes contrary to the Word of God. We're being told something contrary. We're supposed to submit to God's chain of command. And if a person says, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're not doing that, and they're not reverencing their husband, which has to do with realizing his office, and they belittle and put him down, then they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. They're just not. I'm sorry, they're just not. They're just not. They're showing they're not spirit. You might be doing God's work. You might be serving the Lord, but you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's no good, just like being drunk with wine. And then notice children are to obey their parents, submit to their parents. Verse 1 of chapter 6, Ephesians, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father. So children obey has to do with an action, just like submitting with a wife has to do with an action. Reverence has to do with her attitude. You know, you can submit to somebody and be really have a bad attitude about it. Like the little boy, you know, the father said to the little boy, sit down over there. And somebody said, well, I see you obeyed your father. You sat down. He said, yeah, but I've been standing up in my heart. And that's the way some ladies do with submission. They're standing up in their heart. That's the way some children do with their parents. Their honor has to do with an attitude. Submission or obedience has to do with an action. Submitting has to do with an action. Reverencing your husband has to do with an attitude. God, the Holy Spirit, if he's filling you, will change your attitude. I can smell a bad attitude. Amen? And that's bad. I'm amazed at some parents. They can sift out a bad attitude in their children just like that. But they can't do it in their own lives. They don't see that bad attitude. And so I'm just saying this is what God says. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's another submission here. Look at verse 5 and verse 6 of chapter 6 in Ephesians. Go to chapter 6 of Ephesians. And verse 5 and 6, we're coming to the end. It says in verse 5 and 6, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ. So what does that talk about? When you're working with an employer, you submit realizing that the Lord has put that person in your life. And you have the right attitude. We see that with Daniel, and he was called somebody with an excellent spirit. We see that with Joseph. Too many believers claim to be good Christians, and they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. They may teach in class. They may do this and do that. And you may be like that. And tonight, just like if I were to rebuke you or you were to rebuke me for being drunk, how about are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? And that's an important feeling that we need to have. Let's bow for prayer tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed. That's a searching question. You